Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called us through His Son with three commands, and those three commands are to love God, love others, and go. Every Sunday we proclaim these truths before the Word is preached, for He is the Word summed up in all three of these commands. For in them is the fullness of the Bible from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. And we are in the process of living that now, that we truly may be changed and our world may be changed through us. For it is God who worketh, and it is we who obey. May it be, and may it be ever so, and amen. Today, I want to talk to you folks out there on internet land and for you folks here. How many of you like my new shirt? Pretty cool, isn't it? Devil stomping. How does it say that? Hardcore devil stomping ninja ain't an official job title, so I'm a pastor instead. Isn't that cool? I didn't buy this shirt. It was bought by somebody out there, by one of you, and hand delivered to my door. Are we reaching people? You better believe the Lord is reaching people through us. And I do want to thank the person who got this for me. I just love it because I never thought of myself as a devil stomping ninja. But I like it. So instead of calling me pastor, you say, hey, devil stomping ninja. No, pastor's a whole lot easier. So, but I just love it. I think it's cool. You're plugging in. You're realizing. You know, so much of church is all this stuff that's up there and out there and pretending. But it can also be real when we submit ourselves. And this pastor is a fool. I'm going to talk about that today. Because I'm going to tell you right now, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Can I get an amen? And I'm a fool. I'm a fool for the Lord. And I want each and every one of you to be the same. So today, I'm going to be preaching on something here. You know, how many of you saw this? Seek ye first, and you think we're going to be talking about, you know, talking about the kingdom, and we're not going to worry and all that stuff, because that's what that talks about, doesn't it? Well, I'm going to take you a little bit different direction, because we're going to seek first His kingdom, but we're going to look at what He's really saying there, and we're going to bring that into a reality that will show each and every one of us that sometimes we need to go just a little bit deeper than the surface, because God wants to plumb us out. He wants us to understand the deep things of God, and that means we have to do something. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, because that's where you're going to find the scripture here that I am referencing. The scripture here, we all know it. It's in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 24 and read through 34. Matthew chapter 6, 24 through 34. Awesome. Thus saith the word of the Lord. No one can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Praise the word of the Lord. Amen. When I look at these words, when I look at what Christ is teaching us here, as I said, you know, I've preached this about not worrying, about seeking God's kingdom, about seeking his righteousness, and all these different things. And it's a proper sermon. It is true exegetical work of the Scriptures. But now I want to exegete it just a little bit deeper, because God has lairs. How many of us know God has lairs? He most certainly has lairs. Most of us are happy with just eating the icing. Well, under the icing is cake. And if you eat the cake, there's another layer of icing. And then there's another layer of cake. And if you're lucky and it's a three-layer cake, you get more icing and more cake. That's why I hate my lovely wife only makes sheet cakes, so I only get one layer. So I'll cut two pieces and put them on top of each other, and then I got a double layer cake. You think I'm lying? You know, that's true. I do that. I'll take a piece on because it's like, I just need that more icing. Don't you like the icing on the cake? But don't you enjoy the cake? So let's enjoy the cake. Because I'm going to tell you right now, God here is talking about a wisdom and a knowledge and a wisdom. God here is talking about a knowledge and a wisdom. We have knowledge and wisdom. How many of us understand that the Gentiles going after these things, they're seeking knowledge of how to appropriate their lives to be able to do the things that we need to do to be able to supply our families and our needs? Isn't that what's being talked about here? That's talking about knowledge. I want you to think about that. How many of us know people that are a walking trivia closet? They have all this knowledge, and they can spout trivia here, there, everywhere. You know, I used to work with a gentleman. He would just say things, you know, and, oh, did you know? And then he would tell me a stupid fact that didn't mean anything and walk away. It's like, what does that have to do with anything? It didn't. He was just espousing his knowledge because he had no idea how to apply it to his life, nor did it apply to his life in any way. It just showed that he had great wisdom or great knowledge. How much of our academia in this world is all about knowledge? Students are out there getting degrees on things that have absolutely no bearing on life, and then they get out and they have a $70,000, $80,000 debt that they have to pay, and they're working at McDonald's because they got a degree in lesbian literature. You think I'm joking? That is an actual bachelor's degree at several colleges. And there are worse ones. You know, the joke used to be when I was growing up, these people go to college and they get a degree in basket weaving. Folks, there's a bachelor's degree for basket weaving. What's it gonna do you? There's no wisdom in it. Because these people get out and they have this great, you know, bunch of debt, and then they're screaming, well, now I got to pay this back. Well, you took the free ride because you wanted to be lazy. Is that wisdom? No. You were gaining knowledge in something that gave you nothing. That's not being wise, and that's what happens to our world. Our world seeketh after all this knowledge but has not wisdom. But when we seek after the Lord, God takes the knowledge that we have and he turns it into wisdom. How? By giving us the knowledge of himself. Because when we turn this worldly knowledge to God and ask him, how does this apply? Some of it he's going to say it doesn't. And others of it he's going to say, look at what I have said. So we have to understand there is knowledge, there is wisdom, and there is revelation. Without revelation, we know not God. Therefore, we have not true wisdom, nor can we gain, or true knowledge, nor can we gain wisdom. Because wisdom is how to appropriate these very things. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Can you see how this all ties together? That if you seek wisdom in this world, God has told us that, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. So that means you have to have at least a sense of knowledge to begin with. And that knowledge takes you to a place where you want something more. And that turns into wisdom. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. I could have chosen many, 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 many scriptures about wisdom and knowledge. But the Lord led me here, and because of that, I'm going to park on this for just a little bit. Because this whole proverb from 1 to 22, God is laying out for us a reality in our lives that I pray each of us will attribute to ourselves. Because if we look at knowledge without wisdom, all we have is going to harm us. But if we turn ourselves to the revelation of God and seek Him, isn't that what we were told in the book of Matthew? Then we will find true wisdom and we won't have to worry about these things. How can I say that? Let's read Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice. Woo! And equity and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to death. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. You will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. When I look at these words, when you look at these words, what do you see? What do you hear? What I see, what I hear is God has put this into two pieces here. He's telling us from verses 12 to 19 that knowledge without wisdom leads to death. Isn't that what he's talking about there? When we take the knowledge of the world, the things that the world shows us, and we plug ourselves into the way the world operates, it leads to death. It does not lead to prosperity. There are people who are walking in the way of the world and they're billionaires, but they're dead. How many of you want to have $1 billion but be dead? Because that's all you're ever going to get. And when you go to eternity, and we all go to eternity, you will be separated from him forever, and you will have nothing. You can have nothing on this side of the grave and get to eternity, and it's all yours. I don't know about you, but I think that's the way I want to live my life. But one of the most amazing things is God doesn't tell us that. God literally tells us that we're going to have a good life. He tells us that we're going to have an abundant life. Isn't that what Jesus said in his Gospels? I have come that they may have life and life abundant. Now, does that mean God's going to fill your bank account? No, that means God's going to walk with you and give you enough of everything to keep you on that straight and narrow path to get you to that place that is abundant life, which is eternity with him. That also means you're going to have struggles and trials and all these kinds of things along the way, because God knows he's got to work on you. He's got to work on me. But he also calls us to wisdom. We just sang the songs here. When we don't see it, you're working. When we don't feel it, you're working. How many of us have said to ourselves, you know, over the last 2, 3, 4 months, you know, I prayed to God and he didn't do anything. Oh, Pastor, I need your help. No kidding. Why do you think I'm here? Because God's working. You wouldn't have called me if God wasn't working. He's going to let you mess up. That's called wisdom. How many of us did that with our kids? Okay, you want to do that? You go right ahead. Then they get hurt. And what do? I told you so. But is that what God does? No. God receives us right back. Dust us off. He says, did you learn anything while you were down there? Did you get a hold of that? Did you take that into yourself and see what it led you to? Okay. Now, let's put that aside. We'll remember it no more. You're going to remember it, but I won't, he says. You're going to remember it. Why? Because that's giving you wisdom. And you won't do it again. Until next time, as Dan Dower would say to me. Because we do screw up, don't we? We do mess up, don't we? We keep going back to it, don't we? But God will get us to the point where it tastes so foul in our mouths that finally we will not return to it anymore. And he will give us the victory through our own strength and wisdom that he is working. I'm just working against him, and I'm the one picking this thing up. He's not picking it up. I am picking it up, and he's here for me, and all I have to do is call out to his name. And that may mean calling somebody and having them be here with me. For those among you who are weak and sick, what? Weak and sick, what? Weak and sick. If you're about ready to fall and you know you're getting ready to fall, you are weak and sick. Call the elders and have them come and lay hands on you, for their faith availeth much. Do we hear the word? Do we come under that revelation and gain the wisdom therein? Oh my gracious, oh my glory. I want to kick the devil out of this house. I want to get him out of our community. I want him to know that when the heart of Christ says we're going to stand, that he knows he's got something that's going to stand against him. Can I get an amen, church? Because that's how we win. We don't win by falling on our knees and saying, but I called out to God. Yeah, call out to God. Call some brothers and sisters. Get them involved in your life. It is not good for man to be alone, to go through these things by ourselves. It is good for us to call on a brother or a sister and come to that place of humility. Because I'll tell you this, as Spurgeon has said, to the Christian it is to be humbled, but by God, if not, you shall be humbled. How many of us have had to live that one a couple of times? It is not that we serve an angry God. It is that we serve a God who loves us so much that he's willing to allow us to mess up so that we may gain what? True knowledge and true wisdom through the revelation of his word and his presence in us. How do we gain revelation of these things? Is not the Holy Spirit in us testifying to himself? Yes, he is. And that's why we pull at these things. That's why we ask these questions. But then we have to receive the revelation and begin to walk in it evermore. When I look at these words and I see what God is doing, verse 10 says, "What? For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." That's the Holy Spirit working in us. And we have to submit ourselves to Him. And that is one of the most difficult things that we can do, because we operate in the knowledge of the world and not the knowledge of God and the wisdom therein through His revelation. Because revelation transforms each and every one of us. And as we walk in that revelation, He has more yet to come. Oh my goodness, to learn and know and plumb the depths of the Lord. I think about what it says here in verses 12 through 19, that you know, this is what it's going to be. And it's so funny to me because He attributes it to wicked men and an adulterous woman. He talks about these things that lure us away. Okay, it doesn't necessarily mean an evil man. It doesn't necessarily mean an adulterous woman, because those are the only two things. I don't run in the guiles of evil men, and I've never slept with a woman that's been married or whatever, you know, however you want to pose those things. That's not what He's talking about. It's a whole lot deeper than that. We've got to plumb what God is saying here and gain His wisdom and knowledge. He's talking to us in manners that we can understand. But it's going to be the things of this world coming at you, the seductions of this world. How many of us know the seductions of this world? Man, one of them is money. Gee, didn't we hear about that in the book of Matthew? You can't serve God and money at the same time. You're going to love the one and hate the other. I'm helping you gain some wisdom here today by seeking the knowledge of God. And as we give ourselves unto Him and pull this into our lives, God here from verses 1 through 8 and then 20 through 22, He gives us all kinds of promises. How many of you love the promises of God? You know, we sing the song, "I'm standing on the promises of Christ my King, trampling them all down and asking for everything." Am I lying? And we wonder why it don't work. I hate when I fall to this stuff. I hate when I myself, the pastor, the ninja stomping, devil kicking, whatever you want to call me, fails. But it's because I've forgotten who I am, whose I am. And I've laid aside the wisdom and the knowledge of God for my own devices. We're all going to fall to it. The question is, how often you got to fall before you learn your lesson? Before you realize the strength that I need, the revelation that I need, the power that I need resides right here in my soul. In my soul. And His name is the Holy Spirit. He's that close. And in that revelation, I have all the strength I need to say no and turn and walk away. But guess who has to walk away? You, me. But we'll do it in the strength of the Lord if we truly do it. You see, God's not going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. How many of you have walked that road? Yeah. He is going to let us falter as long as we want to falter, because all we're doing is giving ourselves an excuse. But if we walk in His wisdom and His knowledge, all these things will be added unto us. All the victory, all the hope, all the glory for understanding and knowledge come from Him. He stores up sound wisdom for those who are in the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. A what? He is a shield for those who walk in integrity. He will guard your heart that you feel confident in saying that no, that you can do it again and again and again and again. But Lord, how many times am I going to have to say no? Every time. But it's your choice. You know, I think it's funny. And I love your expressions when I get loud and holler. Okay? Because it gets some of you pumped up. But do you know why I holler? Do you know why I get loud? People are like, well, you're just a showman. You know, you're just a... No, no. I need to share with you why I get loud. I need to share with you why I get so pumped up. Because I am so in love with Jesus Christ. I want you to see how much I love Him. How much I hate my sin. How much I hate the things that I get stuck in this world. And I can't wait for the next one. So I'm going to shout it from the mountaintops. I'm going to shout it from the rooftop that Jesus Christ is King. That I know He is my victory. Why do I do that? Because I know I have the knowledge, I have the wisdom, and I have the revelation to prove it. And I have the witness in my own life. But yet I fail. So I speak all the louder that voice is the one I hear and not the one that's pulling me down. Because the love of Christ is that which saves. The hope of Jesus Christ is that which saves. And He needs to be the loudest voice in our ears. How many of us know that He is that still small whisper? But that still small whisper has to be screaming loud in your soul. You have to be so sold out to Him that is all you hear. That is what you hope for every day. That we hear in the midst of the falling, that you are being tempted by this thing. You are my son, in whom I am well pleased. You hear that when you're getting ready to do something wrong? Do you think you're going to continue doing that wrong thing? When you let that whisper resound in your soul, it becomes a scream. It becomes the mighty voice of God calling us back to the knowledge and wisdom of His love through the revelation that He has already placed in each and every one of us because we've already had the victory at least once. Our world wants us to take a hold of its knowledge and its wisdom because it wants to control us. It wants to tell us what we're supposed to do. It wants to tell us all this good stuff that they call good, but the reality is it's meant to imprison us. It's meant to shackle us. It's meant to tie us down. It's meant to hold us back. If we understood what we are yet to be in Christ Jesus, how many of us would be walking in a victory that would never stop? I tell you, everyone. So how do we find that knowledge, wisdom, and revelation of God? Folks, this is so amazing to me. Look at the front of your bulletin. Look at the front of your bulletin. And for those of you out there, we're going to put this up on the screen here in a minute. But for you guys in the audience, for you guys in the congregation, you, the ecclesia here that is gathered, our scripture, every day that we gather together, this is our church's scripture. And you all wonder why it was chosen, all right? I'm going to tell you why Pastor chose this. And yes, I'm the one who chose this. It says, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So what does that have to do with where we are and what we're doing and how we gain this? Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. I want you to grasp it. I want you to see how deep, how wide, how high is the love of God in Christ Jesus. And the only way we can do that is to look to that which is His revelation, the Word of God. 2 Corinthians. I was about to start reading 1 Corinthians. That would have been fun. I've done that before. You all know it. From verse 12 in chapter 3, thus saith the Word of the Lord. From verse 12 in chapter 3, I'll let you get there because I know some of you are still flipping. Awesome. Thus saith the word of the Lord. Therefore, having such hope, what hope? Our hope in Jesus Christ. We use great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the Old Testament, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a manner the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image of the glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy. We do not lose heart, but we have renounced things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power, so the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Praise be the word of the Lord. In other words, as we look at what is happening here, it is the coming of Christ in us. It is the fulfilling of Christ in us, and us coming to Him and looking intently into His face, that we gain the knowledge of these things which God has apportioned unto us, which is revelation. This is the revelation of God as we know it in truth and fullness, from the first verse in the book of Genesis to the last verse in the book of Revelation. And God here gives us the blueprint of life, but we must plumb all these things out. Because people have said to me, "Oh, but Pastor, the Scripture doesn't talk about that." Yes, it does. You just simply have to plumb it out. You have to be the one to go to that second layer of cake. And sometimes you have to go to that third layer of cake. You've got to take it even deeper. And God has spoken everything He needs to speak unto the salvation of men. Can I get an amen? And for how we are to get there. That very first scripture says that we lay down the knowledge of this world and we seek the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Remember what I said. The wisdom of this world is folly, but the foolishness of the saved is wisdom unto salvation, unto life. Is that not what our word tells us? For He has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And the foolish things of this world, what is the foolishness of the gospel? Jesus Christ crucified. Jesus Christ crucified. How does a man dying bring us to everlasting life? Well, it's understanding that He was far more than a man. Can I get an amen, church? For He is God, very God, light of very light. And when we realize God died for us, all of a sudden, all the doors of knowledge and wisdom are open to us to plumb them out, to apply them into our lives, and to bring us the fullness of the glory who is Christ Jesus in our lives and in our being. And all of that comes to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have to recompense ourselves unto that. I'm going to give you a little bit of a teaching here, and then I get to end this plane. You know, most of us understand Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. where it tells us that we are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. This is our spiritual act of worship. Do you know what that is actually talking about there? Do you know the depth of what is being spoken there? Do you realize if we are a sacrifice, a living sacrifice unto the Lord, this is our spiritual act of worship. That means everything you do, you are showing God how much you love Him. You're showing God how much you need Him, how much you appreciate Him, how much you love Him. When you go to work, everything you do at work shows how much you love God. So the converse then is true too. If you go to work and you're a slacker and you're taking 5 breaks instead of the 2 you're supposed to get, or you're only doing, I don't want to do all that today, so I'm just going to drag my feet. You're showing God how much you love Him. You're showing everybody in the world how much you love God. That's your spiritual act of worship. Everything you do, every time, I'm going to pick on myself every time, and I know this, and I'm going to be working on it. Every time I, because for me it's a sin, for some people it's not, but for me I know it's a sin. Every time I light up one of my little cigars and I smoke it, I know just how hard that is because I'm showing people around me. They look at me. I just spoke with 2 gentlemen yesterday, and they said to me, "Well, what do you do for a living?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a pastor," and I'm puffing on a little cigar while I'm talking to them. The one guy just looked, he just kept following that cigar after I said that. His eyes just kept following that cigar. And I was like, "Wow, Rich, you need to get this stuff taken care of. It's going to be hard. I've been doing this for a lot of years. It's going to be hard. I tell you, it's easy to quit. I've done it 40 times. But it's going to be hard to stay quit because my body is dependent upon a nicotine addiction. So I got to get through that." My little granddaughter, just yesterday, she said to me, "Pappy, smoking is a bad thing." 4-year-old telling the 62-year-old. Whew. Come on, people. Now, I know. Can I continue smoking? Yeah, I can. But if I'm going to take the fullness of God's word and I'm going to walk in the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord, doesn't that mean that I should be doing something? I'm telling on me, but I'm looking at you. Yeah, you do. Because you know what you're dealing with. You know where you are. Are we going to walk in wisdom and knowledge through the revelation of God and gain the victory? Or are we going to keep falling and just saying, "Oh, but God, I just can't do it. You have to come into my life." Isn't he already there? It's time to start being wise. Start working in the knowledge and revelation that He's given us. That's each and every one of us. So, I avail to you, because that's my sin. Like I said, for some people, smoking isn't a sin. They see nothing wrong with it. And if God's not convicting them on it, it's not my business to. But if God's convicting you on something, an attitude, God's convicting you on a habit, God's convicting you on a way of life that you do things every day, and you're just like, "Well, I just can't change." What God do you serve? What God do you believe? What kind of wisdom are you walking in? And are you applying revelation? You and I need to understand, God's not going to bully us. When we get there, we're going to be perfect. But how many of you want more treasure when we get there than chaff? Because remember, we all go through the fire, and all the chaff gets burned off. And some of us are going to get in, and we will be in the smoking section in heaven, and there won't be no cigars, because we will smell of smoke. God is here to give us that very wisdom, knowledge and revelation that will set us apart unto victory. And as a church, that's what we need to promote into the life of the community that we live, but yet into our own lives to receive the full blessings of God, even now. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, we all know where we fall short, each and every one. But Lord, we also clamor for wisdom and knowledge and revelation, because it's through your revelation that knowledge and wisdom, true knowledge and wisdom of Jesus Christ, is brought to us, that we may see and clearly discern. So Lord, I pray that you would work in each of our hearts to show us that when we're saying you're not doing something, you're showing us, oh yeah, you're doing something, but you, me, the sinner, is not following through with what we know we have, which is the strength and the power through the Word who is alive and well and in us. You, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would bless every person that is listening now, that they may be able truly to tackle the things that are coming after them in this world, that we would be separated from them to the point that our yes would be yes and our no would be no, each and every time, according to the righteousness of Jesus, who is the Christ, and in whose name we pray, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.